Sheets. Welcome in, brand new week, a Monday sports huddle on SEMO ESPN Radio. We're at 1220 AM, 93.5 FM, and online at SEMOESPN.com. Eric Schahn and the Missouri Sports Hall of Famer, Jess Bolin, inviting you to join us here in the huddle. Here is how you can hook up with us. Our huddle hotline number, powered by EBOMD, is 573-334-1220. And these days, you got to dial that 573 for whatever reason. 573-334-1220, the EBOMD huddle hotline. It's a Monday. That means the Monday Marty Party, the Love Shack. Marty Mischow will join us a little bit later on in the show. Jess Bolin in the house. Tell us about your weekend.
Well, as usual, a lot of baseball. TJ had three games. Ty got rained out. But
when I was young, sometimes I would cry when we got rained out.
I know.
It is the worst. Just getting rained out.
The last weekend that Ty played, he had three homers over the weekend, and he was anxious to get back.
Couldn't wait to get up to the plate.
Yeah, he got rained out. And that, my little granddaughter, she had a couple games yesterday. I did not get to attend them, but Tommy told me she got three hits in one game and already had one hit in the second game before the game was over. I don't know how many she wound up getting, but anyway, she's eight. Trying on her skills. But it's fun watching the grandkids play. I used to, when I was the manager of Caps, there was Little League games going on all the time in center field, because remember they had that little League ballpark there behind the fence. And when I'd leave Kappa Hall, there'd be a Little League game going. If I had 20 minutes extra or something, you know, before I went home, took a shower, got dressed, come back to the game, I'd sit out and watch. I always loved watching kids play. That's the name of the game for me, because it's kids sport, really. And anyway, I didn't do much. Watched SEMO on TV and thought that Tech's pitching was pretty good. Well, the guy yesterday was named Cease. Is that his name?
Pease.
He was outstanding. Tried to go all the way, and he should have. Third baseman didn't make an error. But sometimes you run into guys like that. They just make good pitches, you know, in key spots. And he was doing that, it looked to me like. He wasn't overpowering, was he? What, throwing 90 maybe?
Yeah, he had a pretty good fastball. He was just spotting it. I mean, they threw strikes, and the guys that Tennessee Tech threw out there do not walk people.
Well, that's such a big part of the game.
And the guy yesterday, Pease, he didn't walk a single soul, pitched into the, you know,
2 hours
ninth in, and SEMO got called out on strike six times. You got to swing. The guy does not walk
called
people.
Out the end of the game.
Yeah.
And
you've got to swing. You're not going to get walked.
Cards do that a lot, too. Teams do that a lot when they're losing. They're so, you know, uncertain about what they're doing. Cards are struggling so bad. I made a prediction. And you can roll back the tape. You might have to roll it back and just keep rolling it back, because we don't list anything that what day it was said, that if the Cardinals come out of the chute slow, which they are doing, by mid-May, Marmol would get fired.
And you predicted them to win the Central.
I did. But I can also predict if it doesn't happen, can I? I mean, it doesn't mean he couldn't get fired and still win the Central. Although He could win the Central. Just because I predict something doesn't mean I actually have a crystal ball and know that's going to happen. But, you know, in all fairness to him, another foot, Cards win that game probably 3-2. Did you see the catch was made in center field?
Excellent catch, Newt Barr.
No doubt. It was a home run, 3-run homer. Now, whether that would have stood up if they would have been knowing all the game that they had to get three or four runs, Milwaukee. But they just don't come through with men on second and third or first and third or third with one out or no outs. They just don't do it. It's just like yesterday, Arenado had a chance with one out, pops up right outside the infield. Goldschmidt, he can't pitch it up and hit. I know he got a little feeble hit yesterday over the shortstop's head, probably broke his bat. He's taking too many strikes. You know what my theory always has been, and it still is, if you're struggling with at the plate, and I mean the Cards are desperately struggling, don't go up there and take anything that you can hit, that you can really put in play, and then take strike or strike two, and then all at once now you're in the hole. And Gorman, he... That poor boy is so messed up at the plate.
Whenever he comes to the plate these days, don't you just think he's going to strike out?
Sure. I think he's striking out about 45% of the time, isn't he? I mean, you know, he's so messed up that, you know, honestly, if he had options, you may say, go down for a week or two. We'll bring you back, but go down. You know, Cards need to put some people in the lineup that can actually do something with a bat. Like Fermin, down in AAA, I don't know what he's doing now, but he was really doing well. An infielder, I'm being like 340. But you know how it is, Eric. You've been around baseball long enough. If that ball that Newt Barr hit would have been out of the ballpark, three-run homer, it's amazing, but it ignites the rest of the team. I guess it's a big load off your back that you jump off to a three-run lead. I don't know what the answer is to that. No one else does. But it seems it happens that way. Usually when you have a slump, there's two or three guys that you depend on that's slumping. It's not that way with the Cards. You can name five or six guys. Look, Jordan Walker, way below what he's doing. Brandon Donovan, not doing the things he needs to do and getting on base enough. Newt Barr's, he's holding his own, but he just got back.
Here are the numbers on Nolan Gorman.
Is doing okay.
Nolan Gorman.
But wait a minute. Mason Wynn is doing okay. Arenado and Goldschmidt are tearing you apart. Now I'm done. Go ahead.
Nolan Gorman, who's hitting 169, is one for his last 21 with 12 strikeouts. One for 21, 12 Ks.
That's what I say. He's so messed up, he don't know which way he's going. And, you know, poor old Sonny Gray pitched his heart out yesterday. Had a shutout going into the seventh and gave up a couple runs there. And a couple runs in seven innings, Eric, shouldn't beat you. You should be going out with a lead. But the Cards can't score. They're talking about they score three every game. They can't even score three now.
The Cardinals couldn't score in a women's prison with a handful of pardons.
Now watch out.
Yeah.
You're going where you shouldn't.
Couldn't score, period.
The vivacious and...
scoreless. Can't do it.
The vivacious and talented and everything else.
Six runs in three games.
I like that statement you made.
Six runs in three games. Yesterday, they were 0 for 9 with runners in scoring position. 0 for 9. They left 10 runners on base in the series against the Brewers. Runners in scoring position. 2 for 22. They stranded 31 base runners in three games.
That's the reason why I say you may see a managerial change, because they're just like they were last year.
Exactly like they were. 9-13, that's where they were last year. But they're scoring almost one run per game less than their 9-13 start last year.
And, you know, in all fairness to Marmol, I've come down hard on him a lot on his managerial skills. But this is not his fault, really. Guys can't hit, you know, that's being paid millions and millions of dollars to hit. And I'm talking about across the board. You talk about Gorman, Arenado, Goldschmidt, Donovan. Only guy probably that's carrying his weight is Contreras. That he's hitting good enough that if everybody else was hitting a little bit, he'd be considered having a good, really good year. But sooner or later, and I think the reason why the Cards will fire or Marmol by mid-May, if they don't straighten this out. In other words, if they go farther down, let's say minimal, if they're four games under 500, mid-May they're six or seven games under 500, and that's not much of a slide from where they're at now. I think he'll go. I think he'll be fired. And I think Yachty will come in to manage the team, or Albert Pujols. One of those two will come in. I think there'll be a sweeping change. They'll get new hitting coach, maybe new pitching coach even. Although the pitching can't be faulted. Cannot be faulted on this team.
You've got to take a close look at the hitting coach. Remember how everybody squealing like a pig under a gate when Jeff Albert was the hitting coach? Since they fired Albert, Jess, or since he left, I'm sorry, he was being ripped apart on social media, so he said he's stepping away. Since Albert left, Jeff Albert, they're 11th in the National League in runs scored per game. 11th. Albert can't be blamed. Right?
And you know, by the time you get to Goldschmidt's point of his career, Arenado, they honestly shouldn't need a hitting coach. They really shouldn't. They can look at film now, and I don't know how much hitting coach's influence is on the big league level.
But well, I've heard George Brett talk about Charlie Lau and how much he massive in helping George Brett. So
have to be receptive to that. I think you have to want to get some input from your hitting coach. And I don't know how much a hitting coach is not going to go up and start talking to you and telling you what to do if he's not asked in the big leagues. I can tell you that now. He's got to be received as you want the help. And why the Cardinals sure need to be lining up to get help. I mean, I sit there and watch it, Eric, and it's like getting your gum scraped. It's horrible. Man, second and third yesterday, nobody out. Nobody out. Couldn't get a fly ball, a ground ball, nothing. Pop-up strikeouts, that's your limits. It's just disgusting.
And they can't hit the ball out of the ballpark. They have gone eight straight games without a home run, 282 at-bats without a home
run. There is no big league team now. I would take this bet. There is no big league team this year that's went eight games row without a home run. None but the Cardinals. Wouldn't you?
And like I said, a couple of weeks ago? Name me the last major league team that went three consecutive seasons without a single outfielder hitting 20 home runs. I'm talking 25 or 30. This is going to be their third consecutive year without a single outfielder hitting 20 home runs. That's not a massive season for an outfielder.
No, Lou Brock used to hit 20 pretty regular. And he was considered a stolen base singles guy. And no, 20 home runs in that many games, that's not exceptional. But it is if you don't have anybody can do it. If I had the answer, I'd run up there and try to get paid to tell them the answer. But no one on the Cardinals knows. But I can tell you this, the reason why I think he will get fired is the Cardinals had such. If the Cardinals didn't have such a bad team last year, he may not. But after last year, and everybody's so disappointed, the fans are so disappointed now. The smattering of boos yesterday when that game ended. I think you want to start turn the page and say, hey, we got to start over. That will get the fans interested in thinking, hey, we're trying our best to win. So you get the fans off your back.
You really think that's the personality of John Mozeliak to admit that they are wrong about, first of all, a two-year extension for Marmol?
You and I both raised our eyebrows on that one.
And, sorry, roster construction. You know what we're going to hear from John Mozeliak? Be patient. It's early. It is. I agree. But you look at the Brewers, who are now 10-2 in road games. The Cardinals are 7 games behind them in the loss column. 7. And again, here are the exact numbers. Cardinals last year, 9-13, same record this year. But last year, they were averaging 4.72 runs per game. 4.7.
Well, last year it was the pitching.
This year, 3.4 per game. That's almost a run and a half less.
Well, they went, what, 7 games in a row or 8 that they actually scored 3 runs or less. Remember, they went 6 games in a row that every game they scored 3. It's amazing that they're anywhere near 500, really. I mean, you'd think this team, instead of 9-13, would be more like 5-17. But you, in other words, you can't just continually go on like this after the last season was such a bad one. I think the Cards will make a move. But if I was doing it and I was making a move, I'd bring in, if I wanted to hire Molina or wanted to hire Albert Pujols or whoever's out there, I would change hitting coaches too. Of course, the new manager would have something to say about that.
In the last 8 Cardinal games, they have scored over 3 runs 1 time in 8 games, and in that game, they got crushed 12-5. That's the one game they've scored more than 3 runs.
Well,
and they
I
got
saw that game.
Eviscerated.
That was just the other night against Milwaukee, and I saw that game. They got a couple garbage runs at the end. They wouldn't have scored 5 runs in that game. It is what it is, and I don't blame Marmol for them not being able to hit. But sometimes you make a change just to get new faces in there and get a new attitude and a fresh start. And that's why I think that will happen, although Marmol does not swing the bat for Goldschmidt and Arenado and Gorman and some of these people. But something will happen. You wait and see. By mid-May, they better be turning things around or he's gone.
So they sent Victor Scott down, and I was one of the proponents. Keep Victor Scott. Give this kid a chance at the major league level. He's exciting. No. He's got tools. But it's clearly too early for Victor Scott. So that's a good move.
No,
he had never seen pitching above double A.
And
he's
Palante,
never seen triple A pitching.
I remember saying that Palante and Victor Scott would go down, and they both have went down.
I don't know how Andre Palante was even on the big league club to start the year.
Either.
Now, I wanted Victor Scott, but not Palante.
So did I. And Palante, as far as I know, I don't watch a lot of spring training games, but he didn't do anything in spring training to earn a spot. I think they like his 96, 97 mile an hour fastball and his ability to get ground balls. He's also got the ability to walk people and give up homers. You know,
he's good.
Disability.
He's
if you want to look at it that way.
He's good at issuing base on balls and throwing pitches middle.
Kind of what I said. Walking people and giving up homers. But Milwaukee's clearly a better team right now than the Cards are. The Cards pitching can stay with Milwaukee. The Cards pitching, I believe, can kind of hold their own against anybody. But you got to have some runs. Your pitchers can't go out there and shut people down every
12
game.
12 strikeouts, 1 walk for Sonny Gray.
Yep.
Absolutely wasted his start. Frustrating.
He was sharp. Man, I believe he could throw a strike about any time he wants to. And in a game like that, you got to make really good pitches. In other words, it's a lot of difference in pitching if you're ahead 3-0. If that ball had been out of the park and Sonny Gray had 3 runs to work with, it's a lot different than having every pitch you make has to be borderline strike. It's got to be down. In other words, every pitch has got to be good or you're going to be behind. There's a little bit of different pressure there. And he was really good. So the Cardinals so far are getting what they're paying for with Sonny Gray. And they're getting more than they expected out of Mason Wynn. But underachiever Jordan Walker has slid backwards. Gorman has slid backwards. Right now, I'd like to see Carlson and Tommy Edman available just to have a different look.
Send Walker and Gorman back to AAA Memphis.
Yeah. In other words, open
wake
their
up
eyes.
Wake up call, and go down there and get some freaking confidence.
And right now, I would rather have Tommy Edman and Dylan Carlson sticking there to get a different look on this team. At least they're two switch hitters. They could actually play against anybody. The Cards, sorry, I believe a good collegiate team could shut the Cardinals down right now. Don't you think Arenado and Goldschmidt look feeble at the plate? They don't look like they got any power at all. Well, they're one home run for each of them. That's just not acceptable.
Well, what does the Cardinal manager think?
Frustrating weekend. You only get to say so many times. You feel like you should take two of those games. At some point, you just have to start taking them. You know? But it's frustrating. Sonny did a really nice job today. Gave us a true shot. Did exactly what we needed. We took some good swings in that first. Took our shot. Yeah, makes a nice play in center. Robs a three-run homer. We have an opportunity. Very next inning. Don't cash in. And then felt kind of flat from there as far as just stringing together the quality of bats. But it's definitely a weekend where you want to take a couple of those games.
Do you see a through line for your offense right now? Well, what's giving a hard time getting going? Is there anything that you see that connects some of those struggles?
No, man. It's one thing. You kind of get after some guys if there's a lack of preparation, attention to detail, focus, hunger. I mean, you make a list of things that you would want to see out of guys, and when those are missing, then there's a problem, and you address it. But being quite honest, it's not the case. They're just struggling at the moment and trying to find their way out of it. And we got to be patient through that. It sucks. Nothing about it do we like or they like. But, man, if you look at the way I can get specific with you, the way Goldie's preparing at the moment and the way he's going about his work, trying to contribute, the way Gorman's going about his work. You look at Walker, you go down the list, and just guys that are struggling. There's not a real answer at the moment.
Yeah. I have no answers. In case you didn't listen to the whole thing, I have no answers. So I see one of the big things on social media that everybody is squealing about. You need this. That's it. You need to trade Goldschmidt. Listen, you were out of it at the All-Star break last year. The time to trade Paul Goldschmidt would have been last year at the break. What do you think you really get back for Paul Goldschmidt right now if you trade him? What kind of trade value do you really think that Paul Goldschmidt has with his 179 batting average and his 507 OPS?
You don't have any market value. Let's face it. I mean, he's got a great career. He's had a really great career.
He's a borderline Hall of Fame player.
You know, the bottom line is, it's just like you just said, who wants this 170 hitter with one home run 22 games into the year and makes about $25 million. I mean, come on, people are not stupid. That also is 36 years old, which could be, for him, an old 36. You know, you don't know, boy, when a guy gets 35 on up, and I'm talking about baseball, you're still a very young man otherwise. But, you know, you got to be a little career's end. Look at a lot of different guys.
It's still early.
35, 36.
It's still early, and he's a traditional slow starter. But what have you seen day in and day out with his at-bats that makes you believe that he may not be done? Done.
I don't know. I don't see anything.
I'm not saying he's done. I'm saying just the eyeball test says, is he done?
Yeah, you know, I think that the question always comes up when you're, like I said, when you're over 35. If I was managing this team, I always look at everything like if I'm running it, which is silly, but that's me. If I were running this team, we'd have a meeting. And I'd tell them, hey, I played this game, okay? I understand everything you're thinking about and what you're going through. I am not blaming anybody for your failures at the plate right now. But I am saying this, to get out of a slump, a big slump, the only way you're going to get out of it is you hit your way out of it. You come out of it swinging the bat. So what I want everybody in this clubhouse to do, when you're in this game, I want you to leave the dugout looking for a good pitch to hit. Nobody takes strikes. Take a fastball down the middle, you're probably going to be replaced. A curveball or a breaking ball, sure. You can take a strike, but the first pitch you get that you can handle, we're not trying to work the, you hear all the time, we're trying to work the pitch count to get the pitches up on the starting pitcher and get into the bullpen. Heck with that. I'm not worried about getting in the bullpen. I'm worried about getting this guy right now. So I want everybody to be aggressive. Maybe if you're not even aggressive type of hitter, I want you to now. We're going to hit our way out of it. But you don't see that. The cars go up there. How many? Yesterday I was watching the game. Goldschmidt took a strike right down the middle, a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. That is not overpowering at all, even in college. 92. Do you think it is? It might be to some guys, but not a guy that's paid $25 million a year. Right down. I'm talking about waist-high center cut. And I sat down. That's why you're in a slump. You take those kind of pitches, or the Cardinals are doing this. When they swing at pitches, they're a good pitch to handle. They're fouling them off. Do you notice that? They're fouling the pitches back. And that's what you do when you're simply not hitting. You foul off the good pitches, the pitcher gets you out on the bad ones. But I would be aggressive. No question about it. Come out swinging.
Are you aggressively taking phone calls?
I love a call.
All right, let's head to the EBOMD Huddle Hotline, where Jay joins us in the huddle. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, gentlemen. So here's my issue with the Cardinals. I know that they've hit the injury wall early in the season, what have you. But you're going to tell me that you're going to be scared of a Michael Ciani and Victor Scott. I know offense to those guys, and I think sure they're wonderful people. But I don't think they'd belong in a major league roster, but I know you're forced to hand when you have injuries. Yeah. But Lord.
I mean, defensively, they belong in the major leagues. Offensively, I don't know how much more upside Ciani has. I guess we're about to find out. And then secondly, you know, you just need Victor Scott needs ABs. He needs to develop a little confidence. He's never seen a pitch above double A. He's never even played triple A. So he'll get indoctrinated at triple A.
He'll be back.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt he'll be back.
Yeah. Do you guys follow the Battle Hawks at all?
I don't.
A little bit.
Yeah. So on Saturday morning, they played Memphis, and I thought about you guys because I know you guys were big Rams guys, and the broadcast was saying something like they may take our Rams, but they won't take our football. I thought that was pretty cool opening monologue for the game.
Cause the law, Jay.
Oh, I'm hooked on this XFL, UFL, wherever I love it. I hope the NFL could maybe take a few things from it.
Well, I say I don't follow it. I've watched them play, put it that way. But
they're 3-1, and the only loss they have came on a 64-yard field goal at the horn.
I think they outdraw everybody, don't they?
They're by far number one in attendance.
Yeah, there's no question attendance.
Now, sure. If you want to watch the Battle Hawks, They will be at D.C. Sunday. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff. 11 a.m. ESPN. They'll play the D.C. Defenders. That'll be week five. They're 3-1, as I mentioned. Their only loss came on that 64-yard field goal at the Horn to Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm really on board for it. I really enjoy this league.
It's fun football.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's definitely can't wait to go May 19th. I think they're playing D.C. the game I'm going to, so we're going to be pretty awesome. But anyway, you know, Cardinals just I don't know. They drive me bonkers with some of the like you said, some of the. I don't. The Marmol looks lost. I think sometimes in the dugout. I don't.
Well, one thing is for certain: if they don't get the offense at least going a little bit here, it really doesn't matter what you do on the mound. I mean, how could you pitch much better than Sonny Gray? You know, 6 1/3, 2 runs, 12 Ks, 1 walk. I mean, if you can't compete in that kind of start, I mean, unless the offense gets going at all, the pitching is just going to get no help.
I mean, I don't think Milwaukee I don't think they have an overpowering staff. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know. It just blew me away that they couldn't muster up some kind of hitting.
I'm so sick and tired of hearing the Cardinals in the broadcast booth talk about how good this guy is, or he's got such movement, he's got this, he's got that. I don't care what that other pitcher's supposed to do. If I'm managing, I'm going to beat you. And, you know, I don't give too much respect to people. It's just trying to do that to eliminate saying bad things about your team. I understand all that is. I've been in broadcasting quite a while myself. You try to make it better than it is if you're having a tough season.
I mean, I hate things, but sometimes it's just like, what do they see that I don't see?
Well, there's things right that they can know that you don't know, or me either one, you know, because they're closer to the ball club and probably access to the clubhouse and everything else, so they may know some things, but
you know,
but when you step in that batter's box, I tell you, I just can't, maybe I'm wrong, okay?
It's likely.
But, if you can't be aggressive when you're down and you're swinging and you're getting 1 out of 10 or 2 out of 10, and you can't get aggressive in the box, when are you?
Right. No. And you hear Mosaic, well, we're only 3 out of 500. What are you playing for 500 baseball? Get above 500. Let's go. That drives me bonkers. Well, if you look at our last few starts, we're going to be okay.
Well, seven games out of first in the loss column, and they've only played 22 games.
You know why I picked them to win first? Because I thought their pitching was improved enough. I liked their bullpen improvements and everything, and I thought the pitching they got's not overwhelming, but it's good enough to get you into the sixth or seventh with a chance to win. And I like the talent on the Cardinals. I still like the talent on the Cardinals, and I still think they'll turn it around. But maybe that half of that's just being a fan, too. I don't know.
Jay, anybody that has tuned into this show for any length of time knows that you're a Minnesota Vikings fan. I don't have much hope for the Vikings if Sam Darnold is their starting quarterback. But they draft 11th. Are your Vikings going to trade up to get a quarterback, or do they think that one of the big four – are still going to be there?
Eric, they're banking that the J.J. McCarthy story is what I've been reading. I don't know. I don't have much confidence in Sam Darnold either, but
I don't know.
I have confidence in a lot of quarterbacks the Vikings have thrown out there in the last 10 years. I mean,
I don't know that J.J. McCarthy makes it past the Giants at 6. He might. Tennessee doesn't need a quarterback. Atlanta, right now, they've got your former quarterback.
Yeah, right.
The Bears at 9 are not going to take a quarterback. The Jets are not. So, at least in front of Minnesota, the only team potentially that could take that fourth quarterback is likely going to be the Giants. unless Minnesota may trade up, put a package together, go up to three, and trade with the Patriots.
I heard that Arizona was maybe go up to Arizona, but I don't know. Let the chips fall where they fall. If we stink, we stink. I'll still be a fan.
At least you got an NFL team, Jay.
Yeah.
Jay, always good to hear from you,
all
brother.
Buddy.
All right, that is Jay, Minnesota Vikings fan. And I'm getting yawn-inducing feedback with the NFL draft talk. It's fine. You should be talking about the draft. It is in 4 days. But every segment, every NFL analyst on ESPN or on ESPN radio, this is the conversation at some point in the discussion. I'm hearing rumblings about the Washington Commanders at number two. Jaden Daniel, might they be changing their mind? Might Jaden Daniel not want to go to Washington? There is no concrete evidence anywhere. It's the same segment every day with everyone else. It's always Jaden Daniel, Washington, D.C., what's going on there? I'm hearing rumors. I'm hearing scuttlebutt. Enough. Thursday, we'll find out. It's going to be Caleb Williams of the Bears, Jaden Daniel to the freaking Washington Commanders, and then free-for-all, because Washington's not going to trade out of that pick. They're going to get a quarterback, and it's not going to be Drake May. As much as you want to hype up that you have something to talk about, it's just chatter, but it's the same segment. When you talk about the draft, talk about other things other than the Commanders and Jaden Daniel. He's going to Washington. Let's get new topic. There are a million, other players to talk about.
Yeah, we'll get a new topic now.
So the highest draft pick, and we'll talk about it in a couple of minutes with Marty, the highest draft pick in school history at SEMO ever. Sixth round, and they've had three players drafted in the sixth round. Willie Ponder in 03, Tony Walker back in 1990, and then Drew Forbes, offensive lineman, in 2019. All in the sixth round. In terms of the highest overall pick, it was Tony Walker, pick number 148. And now the question is, might Ryan Flournoy, in a wide receiver-rich draft, go higher than the sixth round, Jess?
Well, I don't know. Like you said, it's a rich wide receiver class. So that might be something that knocks him
down.
That
might be a little bad luck for Flournoy that he happens to be in the draft in a year where people say there is freakishly a lot of talent at that position. Have you heard anybody else say that this isn't one of the best wide receiving draft talent pools that we've seen in years?
Well, I'm sure. And if he was playing at Mizzou and had those same results, he'd be a shoe-in, wouldn't he? Let's face it. Let's be honest. When a Division I mid-powerhouse school, I guess, way you'd look at it, mid-major, you can put up numbers that, in all honesty, is not respected enough by the scouts. Maybe, you know, you can look at a player. I remember when I used to scout players all the time. I'd go watch Jeffco play, Mineral Area, Poplar Bluff, Murray, you know, anywhere close. John A. Logan, anywhere close to get some talent. I don't care who they were playing. I don't care what the record was on the team or anything else. I'm looking at the individual, his athletic ability, and what I think he could do. And if you look at Flournoy like that, then I think you'd have to rate him very high. But I think a lot of scouts just so what? You know, that old feeling, so what? He's playing down southeast. I think, you know, to be honest, I think that's the way they look at a lot of them.
He opened eyes at the Senior Bowl and at the NFL Combine. So,
well, you know,
I think he's got a chance to go higher than the sixth round.
That's a very big factor.
Yeah.
Because he's right there, he's going against the best. So, good luck. I hope he does. I'd like to see him go in the first round. You know, it's and I don't have any doubts that he can compete in the NFL. If he can stay healthy and everything, do you? I think he could do it.
Physically strong enough.
Catch the ball in heavy traffic.
He's got the speed, size. No, I'm all about it. You want to see what Marty is all about?
I always love to hear from Marty.
Marty Mischow. We'll check in with the Love Shack, the Monday Marty Party. Straight ahead, it's the Sports Huddle on SEMO ESPN. It's the Sports Huddle, SEMO ESPN, 1220 AM, 93.5 FM. And you can always find us online. We're at SEMOESPN.com. Eric Sean and the Missouri Sports Hall of Famer Jess Bolin inviting you to join us here in the huddle. And on Mondays, we rev up the Monday Marty Party. The Love Shack, Marty Mischow, joins us on the EBOMD Huddle Hotline. Marty, what was shaking this weekend?
Well, a lot of things, man. You guys have to talk the Cardinal fans off the ledge early this year, 2 years in a row now.
I don't think they're on the ledge. I think they're just mad at this point. They bypassed the ledge, and they've gone to the torches and pitchforks.
I think they've already jumped. They bypassed the ledge because they've already jumped. Don't you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. And but, you know, Marty, it's not Marmol's fault they can't hit, you know. Might be the batting coach.
Yeah, I don't know. What's kind of disappointing is they're probably they've wasted so much good pitching that, you know, as good as Sonny Gray has been in his career, he's not going to keep this up. So Lance Lynn, he's been good. He's probably not going to keep it up. So what's going to happen if the Cardinals don't start hitting when the pitchers just slide back a little, which is going to be normal? Then they're really going to be in trouble.
You're exactly right. You know, when that happens, you have to win games 5-4, 6-5, like that. But Cardinals can't even get to 4.
No, boy, it's depressing. Like you say, there. You said a few weeks ago, if Arenado and Goldschmidt aren't big thumpers in that lineup, they don't have much of a chance. And even Arenado's averaging bad, but he's not doing any damage. And Goldschmidt looks just totally lost at the plate. So it's pretty sad right now. The good thing is a long baseball season, but, man, you fall too far behind and you don't have any hope of burying out of yourself.
So it's no day off today. The reigning National League champion, Arizona Diamondbacks, who just took 2 of 3 from the Cardinals in Zona. It's 6:45 tonight. It's Lance Lynn, Steven Matz, and Kyle Gibson. And on Wednesday, Jess, that'll be the getaway game, the final game of the series, 12:15. It'll be Kyle Gibson and Jordan Montgomery will be taking the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, they won't do anything with him. Of course, when you come out of, Marty, you know this, when you actually break out of, it doesn't matter who's on the mound, you're going to have that day. Things are going to fall for you. You're going to get pitches to hit, all this kind of stuff. But right now, the Cards are not aggressive at all. I think you have to do that you have to hit your way out of a slump. You're not going to, you know, it's not going to happen for you if you go up there and take strike one, strike two. And I think Carr's doing too much of that. But, you know, it's easy to talk about hitting. It's not so easy to step in that box and do it. But, you know, when you're getting paid $25-35 million like Goldschmidt and Arenado, you certainly got a right to expect more than one homer apiece in 22 games.
Well, the average fan probably doesn't realize it. But even the athletes at the highest level can lose their confidence, And when you're struggling like you are, even a guy like Goldschmidt, he's probably going up the plate, probably has no hope he's going to get a big hit.
I agree.
And like you say, until he does it a few times, it's not going to change. So people don't think of, you know, they always think of maybe a high school, college kid going to lose. But even the highest level athlete is going to lose their confidence, don't you think, Jess?
Absolutely. Any athlete. Because now you take Goldschmidt and Arenado, two guys that know good and well at the end of the season, and they still probably will. They still probably have decent stats. But even those guys can get to the point where they think, well, maybe is my career over? Am I on the downward slide now in my career? I mean, those kind of thoughts creep in to anybody. And I don't care how good you are and how much you get paid. It's a physical game that you're playing. It's something that is tougher than people even know.
So Nolan Arenado forced his way out of Colorado because they just would not spend enough. And they just were not trying to win on a regular basis, and he was sick of losing. So he comes to the Cardinals thinking, okay, look at the tradition of the St. Louis Cardinals. Jess, and he is playing for the Colorado Rockies, only they're in St. Louis.
Exactly right. You know, he came to the Cardinals because of the Cards tradition. And I think when he came to the Cards, they had, a history since 1996 of winning more games, actually, on the field than any other team. So he had good reason to come to St. Louis. It's just that the Cards are just not doing it.
And one of the narratives, Marty and Jess, that you hear is Bill DeWallet just not spending the money. No, they haven't spent their money wisely. They have flamed out on guys who they didn't think were going to be impact players, and now they're impact and all-star players on other rosters. If you go with spending, Bernie Mikolas had this stat, guys, and I want to get your thoughts. Since the start of the 2017 season, this is 2024, is that a pretty big sample size, Jess?
Well, you don't need to ask me that.
Okay.
You know it is.
Decent sample size. The Cardinals have spent $1.2 billion on payroll, $1.2 billion. The Brewers have spent $770 million. So you're talking about $500 million more spent by the Cardinals, yet Milwaukee's winning percentage is much better than the Cardinals. 557 for the Brewers, 527 for St. Louis. It's not about dollars spent. It's about wise dollars spent because Milwaukee has been better.
Well, you can't really go by money spent. Here's the thing.
But that's the complaint by Cardinal fans.
Yeah, I know. I understand that. Well, here's the problem with the Cardinals is they don't recognize young talent. It's okay to spend money on Sonny Gray and Arenado and Goldschmidt, but then your other players have to live up to big league standards like Garcia, like Lane Thomas, like Rosarena. All these people need to be on your club, not somebody else's. So they really don't. I think the Cards develop players very well, probably as good as anybody. But then when they get them at the peak of their development, they don't make good judgments there.
I don't know. When's the last time they developed a starting pitcher? I don't agree with that statement.
You don't look. Development's got a lot more to do than starting pitching. Did they develop Zach Gallen?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay, look at this way. Did they have anything to do with Zach Gallen? He's
sure.
On their team. Did it have anything to do with Alcantara?
Sandy Alcantara?
Sure. You can't say that they haven't developed pitchers. They have. They just don't.
Where are they?
There are other teams. That's where they're at.
And lately what's happened too, well, not lately, but, you know, the Cardinals and you all know this, in an organization, and this is what has come back to bite the Cardinals, they had eight at a time, probably, you know, eight outfielders that were really high on guys like Carlson and Bader and those guys, and they bet on those guys over guys like Rosarena, Garcia, and guys like that, and it hasn't panned out. I mean, if Bader and Carlson had turned out to live up to their promise, even though you let guys like Rosarena and Garcia go and they have great careers, you wouldn't even really be talking about it. You know what I mean? But the Cardinals, for whatever reason, have let the wrong people go. And now, we've talked about this before. Everybody, nobody thought Garcia would be really good. The Rangers even let him out there for everybody. So organizations do this all the time, but it's blaming for the Cardinals when the guys you keep are just so-so players. At one time a few years ago, Jeff, wouldn't you have kept Carlson over those guys?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, but right now he hasn't panned out.
But that would have been wrong.
Glaring, but I mean, the proof is in the pudding, and Cardinals have let too many people get away that turned out to be really good players.
And I know Jess discounts him, but I say Marcelo Ozuna. You had to give up Alcantara and Gallen, and you let him walk. He hit 40 homers with 100 RBIs last year, and right now he leads the majors in homers and RBIs. I add him to the list because they didn't even offer him a contract. And they gave up Gallen and Alcantara, and then they let him walk. Sorry. That's the way it is. I'm adding him to the list.
Nobody can get him out right now.
Well, every club, every big league club does that. And the reason why they do is because you're dealing with human beings, and human beings fail. And you're trying to pick out the guy that you think will succeed the most. And every club makes wrong decisions on players. You just don't. We know the Cardinals because we follow the Cardinals so closely.
MLB Network was highlighting how bad the Cardinals are at talent evaluation.
You get to a point, Eric, where you want to.
You're just in Cardinal protection mode.
You are not. You don't give a damn about the Cardinals. Let's be honest about it.
Let's be honest.
I'm a Cardinal fan.
I do give a damn about the Cardinals.
You go off the ledge. If a guy strikes out four times in a game, you're ready to send him to the minor league. You know that.
I give a damn about the Cardinals. That is a lie.
You don't have any patience.
That is a lie.
You don't have enough patience to walk across the street.
I'm not saying I don't have patience. I'm saying don't say I don't give a damn about the Cardinals, because
that's
not
true. Well, you
really don't.
Only thing you ever do is criticize every damn move they make. Every move they make.
Calm down, fellas. Calm down. Hey, one reason MLB Network did that, because it's so glaring, because it's all at that one position, outfield, that the Cardinals are struggling at so much. You probably could take an all-star team from every team who let guys get away, but they're probably spread out at different positions. I said this a couple weeks or last week. All the great players out there, very few of them started or are playing for the team that started with, so somebody gave them away down the road. But with the Cardinals, it's glaring because it's all the outfielders that have done so good.
But the Cardinals have traded these guys. It's not like they left in free agency. Now, Ozuna did, but what I'm saying is they traded them. A lot of the guys you're talking about, Marty, they were drafted by the team, came up, and then they left via free agency because the team wasn't either willing to spend or could not meet what they were going to get on the free agent market. The Cardinals, many of these guys, they have just shipped them out.
Well, you just got through talking about how much the Cardinals spend.
I remember reading about, you know, in retrospect, because at the time, nobody even really knew who Garcia was, and the Cardinals just, they needed to make room on the 40-man roster for somebody. And with the Rose Arena, we talked about this at the time, all the industry people thought the Cardinals made a great move because they had a lot of outfielders and they needed pitchers, and everybody was so high on Liberatore. And obviously that didn't pan out, although, you know, he might turn in to be a great reliever for the next 10 years in one of those, you know, what was that big lefty that was so good in the playoffs for a bunch of teams? The Cardinals had him. He might turn in and be one of those guys. But anyway,
Well, you
calm
make
down,
trades.
Fellas, calm down. No fighting on the show when
you
I'm
You make
on.
Trades for what you need at the time. You can always look back and say, well, that we shouldn't have traded him. Of course you can. Every team can. Because at the time, the Cards made the trade with the Miami. They needed a hitter. They got Ozuna. Okay? That was a good trade. They got a guy that could actually drive in some runs, hit some homers. I agree 100%. If you're going to trade for a guy like that, you give up that talent, you got to sign him, or you got to really try to sign him. And the Cards, I don't think they went out of their way at all to keep him. So I agree on that. But the thing about it is, you can project what you think a person is going to do as a young athlete. And sometimes when you trade them, you reluctantly traded, but I could see trading for a Rosarena for Liberatore because the Cardinals needed pitching desperately. They had a whole plethora of outfielders. It's just that they actually picked the wrong outfielder. Maybe no. Hey, maybe the team wouldn't take somebody else, you know, for Liberatore. So you got it. You got it. You don't know the whole picture.
How are you judged as a general manager?
Throwing in that trade.
You're judged.
Jose Martinez. Who was the first baseman that hit and couldn't field?
Jose Martinez.
That's who they wanted. A Rosarena was just a throw-in, so I don't think the Rays knew what they were getting with him either.
Sure, you're dealing with young talent. You project what you think they can do.
But if you say, well, who could have thought that this would happen? That's how you're judged as a general manager.
Oh, I know.
You're judged.
All you can do is the result. It's kind of like a coach at any level. How's he judged on wins and losses? So it's the same principle. You're judged on how these things work out.
That's called the bottom line.
And also, as the Cardinals are searching, Jess, for a center fielder, Ciani can't hit, Victor Scott's not ready, Tommy Edman's still injured. Richie Palacios is hitting .304 with a couple of home runs for the Tampa Bay Rays, as many home runs as Arenado and Goldschmidt combined. .429 on base, .907 OPS, Richie Palacios.
And didn't the Cardinals know a little about him? Let's face it.
He did in September last year.
I said on this show that I thought he should be the Cardinals' fourth outfielder with a chance to break into the lineup. And here it was. They just got rid of him. So, they had a little sample size on him, and I liked him. The kid could steal. He had brought a little excitement to the team. I didn't understand getting rid of him, no.
And roll back the tape, Marty. Jess predicted Tyler O'Neill to the injured list. He's on the injured list. He collided with Rafael Devers on a pop-up the other day.
But that's really not...
And he's on the injured
list.
That's
not the way I predicted him to go on the injured list. You know, it was an accident.
Jeff figured he pulled off.
It would be a hamstring.
That's probably still coming too, Jess, I'm sure. I was so going to mention that for air.
Yeah, I don't want any credit for that.
The list.
Injured list.
I don't want any credit for that. That's the difference.
All right, Marty, how closely you following the NBA playoffs? We knew with Jimmy Butler out. Jimmy Butler and the Heat, a little different than some of the other superstars that are injured. The Celtics with a triple-double, Jason Tatum, steamroll the Heat. I don't think they have any chance. Even without Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers roll the Mavs. Even without Giannis, the Bucks down the Pacers easily. 35 in the first half for Damian Lillard. And Ant-Man, unbelievable performance for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and smack-talking with Kevin Durant. What do you think so far of the early rounds of the NBA playoffs?
I haven't been in any games yet, but I like following all the stuff, especially once the series get going and if things look like it might be a series. Looking forward to watch the Lakers-Nuggets game tonight, see if the Lakers can make that a series. I don't know The Nuggets look as good as they did last year when they won the championship. So, kind of looking forward. Nuggets-Celtics, I don't think that'd be a big surprise in the final. Like to see the Celtics finally do it this year. They had such a dominant regular season. But if I was betting money on who was going to win the title, I think we'd pick the Nuggets again, man. That Nikola Jokic is unbelievable.
Probably going to win his third MVP, Jess.
Who you think will be matched up against the Nuggets? Who you think's going to come out?
Celtics. Most people don't think the Celtics might not even have a close series in the East. They were so dominant. They won the Eastern Conference, whatever, that whole East side by like 14 games. I mean, they just rolled. And I would think that the Celtics look like a pretty easy bet to come out of the East. The West is a little more wide open, especially if some injured guys get back, like Kawhi Leonard, stuff like that. But I kind of lean on the Nuggets and the Celtics meeting in the finals. That'd be a pretty good finals, I think.
The only thing that makes me nervous about the Celtics, Marty, you know, they hit a franchise record 22 three-pointers in their win over the Heat. They are just the classic, and I mean classic, live by the three, die by the three. If you watch Celtics basketball, you would be like, my God, how many three-pointers do they shoot? If those threes aren't falling, I think the Celtics are vulnerable, Marty.
Yeah, and I always am leery, too, about a team that relies so much on the three, where the Nuggets are totally opposite. They don't even shoot that many threes, but they're just so well-rounded, and Jokic is just a force inside. But I don't see anybody in the East that can beat the Celtics. That's why I think one of the reasons the Celtics are the favorite to win the overall championship is because it's easier to see them at least making the finals, where in the West, supposedly, you had a lot more contenders. And the Mavs were on a roll. I had so many people were picking the Mavs, and it's just one game, but they got steamrolled yesterday. But a seven-game series always has so many twists and turns.
Well, I think if Joel Embiid was healthy, and I don't think he is, you could see him favoring that knee. If Joel Embiid was healthy, I think the Sixers would give the Celtics a run for the money. A banged-up Knicks team, I don't know if they can. I just don't see a team beating the Celtics unless, for whatever reason, they would have a cold stretch shooting the threes. As much as the media wants to hype and say the Lakers have a chance against the Nuggets, I'll believe it when I see it, Jess. The Lakers have lost 9 consecutive games to the Denver Nuggets. 9.
Is Jokic the best player in basketball?
Yes.
Yeah, I really enjoy watching him play. So I'm a Denver Nugget fan. I'll put that on the line right now. Even though they're champions, I'm pulling for them. So I hate the Celtics. I still that comes from a long ways back. And I sat and watched them in person. In person. I used to see NBA games all the time. So 28 games out of 32 home games 1 year. So you know I was there. I might as well have a season ticket. And I saw the Celtics. I hated them. Everybody hates them. Well, you either love them or hate them, like the Yankees or Dallas Cowboys. That's the way they are.
Marty, if Jokic isn't the best player, a healthy Embiid is the reigning MVP, but obviously he's not healthy. He's never healthy in the playoffs, ever, ever, ever. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards for the Timberwolves. I think those are the guys who, in terms of best players in the NBA, are at the elite level. And I think you got to throw Jason Tatum in there, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and Doncic for the Mavs. And that one of the reasons I wouldn't mind, not that I really care, but I wouldn't mind if the Celtics won, kind of with Jason Tatum being a St. Louis guy. And he's had great regular seasons. He's kind of taken some heat for not really coming up big in the playoffs. But I don't really have a rooting interest or anything. But most people you hear, not only his regular seasons, but his playoff stuff, say that right now Jokic is the best player in the world, which he was only a second round pick. Nobody, in fact, it was funny, I was listening to that former Warriors GM Bob Myers. He's real good. He was on a broadcast and they were asking him about, you know, so how many teams do you think, you know, regret that they didn't, you know, take Jokic, you know? And he said, well, hate to admit this, but he wasn't even on a radio. We didn't even know much about him, you know. So nobody thought this guy would be the best player in the world, and here he is.
All right, Marty. The Red Hawk tennis team upset by SIU Edwardsville in the OVC tournament title match, but still a great year, another OVC regular season championship for tennis.
Yeah, I was worried about that, Matt, because even though SEMO beat him 6-1 in the regular season, people who follow college tennis, all those individual matches were so razor tight, and I knew that they could flip that at any time, man. Must have been SIUE's day yesterday, but SEMO, win 3 in the last 4 regular season and win 2 of the last 3 tournaments, that's pretty good. And SEMO baseball right there, a game out, and softball's really got on a roll. They're only a game out, so a lot of good spring stuff for SEMO going, and track is dominant as usual.
Fill the Hill Tuesday tomorrow, Marty. SIU Carbondale is in town, 6 o'clock at Kapaha. Free adult beverages. I know you're going to be there.
And a Fill the Hill Friday, too, man. I don't know, Jeff. Jeff, that's not very good for people's livers, man. Two Fill the Hills in, what, a 4-day span?
It's the way it's got to be.
Sounds like fill the belly to me.
It's the way it's got to be.
Oh, yeah. I don't care about the free beer. Shoot, you can bring your own beer. It's just those Still the Hills are such a good atmosphere because there's always such big crowds there, and you get to hang out up there on the concourse and talk to people. It's always a good time.
It is likely going to be a day three draft scenario for Ryan Flournoy. Marty, do you think he could beat Simo's record and go higher than the sixth round?
I think there's a good chance. I saw Hero Sports, who does those follows the FCS. They had an updated FCS, you know, projection. They think, you know, he could go anywhere from the fourth to the sixth round. So now, you know, there's no guarantee he'll even be drafted, but I got to think that he's got a good chance to beat that record. And even though I heard you guys talking, such a deep wide receiver draft, it really is that way every year. It seems like wide receivers are the position that the athletic kids play now because running backs gotten so devalued. If you're a family with a great young athlete who's not overly big, you don't play. You remember, Jeff, in the old days, they were all running backs.
Yep.
Now they're all receivers because the running backs are so devalued, they don't even get paid much anymore or get drafted high.
Yeah, do you
even
think?
Even though it's such a deep wide receiver draft, there's room for a lot of people, and I think Flournoy has a good chance to beat that record.
Do you think that the Kansas City Chiefs would have any interest in Flournoy?
I would hope so.
Boy, wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
If he went there.
Hey, some breaking news, college basketball. A couple of days after Indiana State star Robbie Avila decided he's going to St. Louis University to follow his coach Josh Schertz. Now all Valley guard Isaiah Swope has committed to St. Louis, so he's following Schertz to St. Louis. And Marty Simo has signed a 7-footer out of John A. Logan College.
Yeah, Roddy Dean told me that's a good sign for Simo. He's kind of Ronnie Dean's scouting report says he really came on as a sophomore. He was really weak as a freshman. He's still physically not very strong. He has to get stronger. But Ronnie Dean, and I trust his word because he knows about every recruit, he told me that's a good sign for Simo. And Mizzou, I read, has got rave reviews from their four portal additions from the experts. They think Mizzou could have a real bounce-back season next year. Did you read that, Eric?
Yes, I did. This 7-footer for Simo, 105 blocks last year, Marty at John A. Logan. That could be Simo's first real legitimate rim protector since Nino Johnson.
No doubt. And, man, how many? When was the last time, if they're all around for next year, when was the last time you saw an OVC roster with 3 7-footers on it?
I know it. If they all return, they got a little size. What else, Marty?
I think we covered it. Good talk.
All right. We went overtime today. Marty, always great to hear from you. We will see you at Fill the Hill Tuesday tomorrow at Capitol Hall.
Sounds good. See you guys.
All right. The Love Shack, Marty Mischow. Jess, hello to the lovely and talented Dawn Sean. She just got off 3 12-hour shifts, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. She is off until next Friday, so she'll be enjoying the day off today. Thanks for all of her hard work. Got a final nugget
three
for us.
3 12-hour days in a row. I don't care what your job is. It's pretty tough. I want to say hi to my girls, too, down in Texas and Columbia, and my boys right around here, my little sister, Neva, all locally, all listen to the show. How about this one? What wisdom can you find that is greater than kindness? I don't know what you could find greater than kindness. I preach it all the time. That was not written by me. In fact, it was written by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. I don't know how the...
Jean-Jacques?
I never heard of him, but that's how he spells his name. J-A-C-Q-U-E. Jacques, I guess.
Like Jacques Cousteau?
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to have Jacques Cousteau books when I was a kid.
I love Jacques Cousteau.
The underwater adventures of Jacques Cousteau. All right, Jess.
Guys like him and Jules Verne, they was ahead of their time.
Want to run it back tomorrow?
Yep.
All right. That's a Hall of Fame. Stay tuned. Greeny is coming up. Hope you enjoy your Monday, everybody.